Sourcing Matters Podcast. This is your host, Aaron Niederhelman, sharing stories of our food.
And welcome back to Sourcing Matters. This is your host, Aaron Niederhelman. Today we're going to talk about a fun subject, slightly different than most of our protein discussions. We're going to talk about innovation economies within food and ag tech. And I've brought in two experts in the field to talk and to provide some additional information, maybe provide a little clarity for people of what's really going on within food systems, around agriculture, around last mile delivery. So let's first start with my co-host, who's a local to the Massachusetts area, friend. We've been able to interact many different projects. It's Lauren Abda from Branch Food. Hey, Lauren, how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Yeah, of course. So, Lauren, you within Branch Food, which is it's been an interesting evolution to watch how you've progressed this, and you've really become a bit of the facilitator within a lot of the innovation economy around food and ag within New England, maybe a new New England new food economy. You host events. Which we met our guest today, actually, through one of your events. And you're also the largest community of food innovation in New England and provide resources, including co-working space, events, workshops, and mentorship. Lauren, can you tell us a little bit about how you've built up Branch Food and what you've seen for an evolution over the last couple of years?
Absolutely. And it's actually also kind of coincidental that we're on the call with Brett today from both Techstars Farm to Fork program, because Techstars was really in many ways the inspiration for what Branch Food has become today. When I was in graduate school, I interned for the Techstars program here in Boston, and despite the fact that I was a food policy master's student, was very interested in startups and entrepreneurship, and Techstars was my first foray into that world, and so have sort of been creating community and doing a lot of resource aggregation specifically to support food entrepreneurs ever since. And I did that internship back in 2011. But a couple of years later, returned back to Boston after graduating and started Branch Food as a meetup group on meetup.com, and really grew it over the years to reflect, I think, both the strengths of Boston, but also the resources that this emerging community of food entrepreneurs really needed. And really liked the Techstars model. I thought what they did in terms of, you know, bringing people together for a relatively short amount of time, but giving them all of that kind of mentorship and access to resources, you know, you could really see the startups mature and progress and develop over those 4 months that the program lasted for. But for Branch Food today, we have very similar components to what we do, but it's not so time-based. And so we have our co-working space in downtown Boston, where we support a lot of food-related businesses. As you said, Aaron, we do a lot of events and classes and workshops. And we also have an angel network, Branch Venture Group, which makes investments in early stage food product, food tech, and ag tech companies. So again, you know, we've grown over the years, but really in response to this evolving kind of food community based in the region. But, you know, it's been very exciting to see these innovative food communities popping up all over the world at this point, working on, you know, in some cases similar initiatives related to everything from, you know, food waste and food recovery to agriculture innovation, to, you know, in our community, we define food entrepreneur pretty broadly, which would also include someone that's launching, you know, a new restaurant or hospitality technology company, new food product entrepreneurs. But I think as I think about what we're seeing more and more today, certainly, you know, initiatives that are focused on sustainability, are focused on the future of agriculture, supporting this sort of environmental movement that we're seeing, happen worldwide has been very, very exciting. And I think here in Boston, especially where a lot of those businesses are coming out of the local universities and food-focused programs here, and are being launched on behalf of people that really know the industry, really understand, you know, where there's opportunity for innovation as it relates to agriculture. And then, you know, in addition, I think more and more we're seeing new food product companies launching and growing, which in some ways is an extension of agriculture, right? Those products are being produced in many cases by local food entrepreneurs that are doing their best to source locally and source seasonally, and building, you know, more authentic kind of real food products. And so, you know, but many areas, it seems like every area of the food system right now is being disrupted, for lack of a better term, but we're very excited to be doing what we're doing, and it's wonderful to see sort of Techstars moving into the food world by starting with agriculture, which is the basis for this whole food movement to begin with. So
that was great. Thank you, Lauren. That was you're right. It services the same consumer. So it is, you know, if we listen to Wendell Berry, who says eating is an agricultural act, right? That then yes, we're all involved in this. And by the way, thank you for that, because I always feel like I intro shows with this long monologue. So Lauren, you took over that for me. Thank you. That was great. That was a great introduction to this. I appreciate it. So let's get into let's introduce our guest here. So Brett Broll, who's the managing director of Techstars Farm to Fork Accelerator, which Lauren mentioned. This is a program that's coming out of Minnesota that is focused on trying to integrate some of the successful models that have been used within Techstars and other verticals to then introduce this into food systems. So, hey, Brett, thanks for joining today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron and Lauren.
So, Brett, tell us a little more about Techstars, if you would, and then what that means for this Farm to Fork Accelerator program.
Yeah, so Techstars, we're the worldwide network that helps entrepreneurs succeed. So we have 40 accelerator programs across the globe right now. About 400 startups go through our program every year. And as a startup ourselves, we're growing pretty rapidly. We had 29 programs last year, so we've added almost 30% more programs this year. We've had 1,500 companies go through our program. One of my favorite stats about Techstars companies is that 9 out of 10 Techstars companies are either still active or have exited. It's actually 89%, it's still pretty good. So, there's a lot of value. I believe there's a lot of value that an entrepreneur can get going through a Techstars program. It's a short 3-month accelerator program. It's mentorship driven. Really, the magic behind our programs comes from the mentors that volunteer and give their time to try and help entrepreneurs and startups succeed. And our mentors are everything from successful entrepreneurs to subject matter experts. In our case, we're working on our program with both Cargill and Ecolab, and they're providing mentors for the program as well, from executives down to subject matter experts within their business units. I believe that a lot of the large food companies have a lot of expertise and knowledge that they can help provide to startups that will increase their chance, a startup's chance of success. It's a really neat program. We help with a lot of things, from how to be better entrepreneurs to help with connections for biz dev to introductions to investors and helping companies with how to pitch, how to think more intelligently about fundraising. It really does run the gamut. We only bring 10 companies to each one of our cohorts, and so it's really individualized. Every company might have different needs coming in, and so we're really trying to help match them with mentors and programming that fits what their needs are. So that's Techstars as a whole. We also run startup programs, so if anybody's ever done a Startup Weekend or a Startup Week, those are actually facilitated by Techstars. We have programs between our accelerators and our startup programs. We have programs, I think, in 178 countries now, so most of the world. It truly is a worldwide network. And my favorite thing about Techstars and why I do what I do, I am accidentally a part of Techstars. I was an entrepreneur for a long time. I built a few companies. And when we sold a company, one of my investors was involved with Techstars and asked if I would help spin up a new program that we were doing focused on the retail space. And I said, sure, I'll do it. And I kind of just fell in love with it, because I believe it's a mission-driven organization, and our mission really is to help entrepreneurs succeed. And it's a lot of fun. You get to work with a lot of smart people, a lot of smart entrepreneurs, a lot of smart mentors doing really cool stuff. So that's Techstars as a whole.
And how about the farm to fork specific vertical?
So the program that I'm running now that I helped put together is focused on the food value chain. So we're a little bit more narrow than Branch Food, and what Lauren's working on is in where we're working. So we are focused, the majority of our focus is on tech-enabled businesses, digital businesses, whether it's hardware, software, in the food value chain, but anywhere in the food value chain. So that could be on-farm, ag tech on-farm, all the way to waste mitigation, food waste management, even technology for restaurants, technology for food delivery, supply chain, manufacturing. Really, it really does truly span the entire gamut of from on-farm to waste. So, but it is focused on the digital side of the world, the tech side of the world, which is where a lot of our expertise comes. And this program itself is it's the same basic playbook that the rest of all of our other TechStars accelerators goes by. It's a mentor-driven accelerator. The difference is that the mentor base and the investor base and the people that we're bringing in to the program to work with our entrepreneurs are all coming from, and the majority of them are coming from the food world. And so I mentioned our corporate partners on the program, but even, a lot of the entrepreneurs that are mentoring for the program were food entrepreneurs first. The investors that are going to be meeting with our companies are interested in investing in the food world. And so everything we do is focused on in the food world.
So Brett, let's jump in a little more of your background, because that's very interesting. You mentioned that you helped curate this and kick it off. And we did mention there were other verticals. I remember specifically when TechStars got into athletic innovation economies, they teamed up with Nike. So they seem to do a very good job, or you do, in picking wonderful partners to really expedite this and to find new locations where this technology and innovation can be applicable. So from your background, which you're an experienced entrepreneur, an investor, a mentor, and I do remember from our conversation at Lauren's event, which we first met at Branch Food, was that you're interested in making a difference in the world by helping entrepreneurs succeed. And so what brings you to food and agriculture innovation? How did you get there? Was it one of your previous companies? Something sparked the interest, environmental purposes? What was your driving factor?
So food has been kind of an area of interest for me for quite some time, actually through my wife originally, who has been in big food her entire career, more on the CPG side, from Nestle to General Mills to Schwann's. And so she's worked at a lot of major food companies. And through that, my food network in the big food world has really grown kind of indirectly through her. And as we started working on as I've worked on companies myself, I've been fairly vertical agnostic with my companies. So they've been all over the place, from data companies to marketplace to e-com shop to kind of all over the spectrum. But one of the things that I love, or what really gets me going about entrepreneurship, is the entrepreneurial process itself. And what drew me to the food world was, you start talking to people and you find entrepreneurs that are, if you're working on a retail tech company, that's awesome. And you can really build a big company that's really neat. But in the food world, you can build a really big company that's amazing, but it also affects everyone on the planet. And so there's that, some people might refer, it's the double bottom line thing, but I just think that there's, if you're going to be in the entrepreneurship space and you're going to be putting your blood, sweat, and tears and committing your life to something like it takes to build a successful company, being able to do it in a vertical where you're working on something that literally could touch everybody on the planet is really, really cool to me. And so that's what drew me to this vertical. That's kind of why we went out and wanted to put this program together, is because it's a really interesting space. There's a lot of need to innovate in it, and there's a lot of need to innovate in it across the entire value chain. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity here as well. But you can not only build a cool company and work with passionate entrepreneurs, but you can also have a real effect on everyone. And so that was the real impetus and why I wanted to be a part of this program and why I wanted to help put this program together.
That's great. I think what I find interesting, Brett, is that when we chatted, what I get excited is we're seeing now this vertical, which once seemed too mature, too large, food and ag. It's very, very sophisticated, very robust, and it's you know, one of the oldest economies out there. So it's stagnant in many of the mm-hmm. applications. There's incredible opportunity for it, but it's just, to your point, so big. And it seems like up until recently, and maybe it's just a culmination of forces, there hasn't been much interest in this. But as Lauren mentioned in the introduction, you know, what we're seeing now is innovations coming across the board. And this is up and downstream. We're talking about last mile delivery innovation, mobile mm-hmm. animal processing. We're seeing big data accuracy tracking global fisheries and provenance and food, new metrics and KPIs and monitoring food values, and then production externalities. Things that weren't even part of the vernacular are now becoming more mainstream. And we're seeing some of these things that have been implemented in other industries now making their way into quantifying values of food. One of those being, obviously, you know, we joked about it at Lauren's event, the blockchain of the tomato, starting to look at what this effect is of Moore's law of technology on when it meets a changing consumer's interest. So where, you know, how do we make sense of this? There's so much happening and there's so many places, not just domestically, but around the world. How do you deal with that volume of information to know what's good, what's not? And when you're vetting your 10 companies that you're selecting, how do you narrow that down?
It is incredibly difficult. And to your point of the companies that we talk to are so different and so, I mean, you like everything you said, we have seen companies playing in that space. And then you add, even you go a little bit further to, you know, food waste management, and food waste tech. And so there really are so many opportunities and so many people, you know, playing in the space and trying to innovate and bringing. I also think that what you said is very on point with the, there's a lot of this stuff, this technology that's being implemented into other verticals already, and people are finding use cases for it within food, which is interesting. And I think that the potential pitfall of that is that our engineers or entrepreneurs trying to take a technology that's really cool and put it into food just because they have cool technology, but they're not really solving a pain point. And so one of the things that I look for immediately is, are you actually solving a pain point in this vertical, whether it's on farm, whether it's for manufacturing, whether it's food safety? Is there a real pain point here? And where is that pain point? Who's feeling it? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to adopt it quickly? And I think that gets, when you're taking software and you're trying to take established software and apply it to an industry, that can be an issue that a lot of entrepreneurs run into, as opposed to building software specifically for an industry, where usually when you take that path, it is you felt the pain point yourself, and you're building something to solve your own pain point. And we do see some of that as well, where on farm, you'll have the, you know, right now a generation of people that might have grown up on farm saw pain points of living on that farm and went to school, got a degree in computer science, and are hacking away to try and solve the pain points they saw while they were growing up. And so we do see some of that as well, where people are building technology specifically for pain points they felt. But you do see a lot of this taking technology from another vertical and moving it into food. So that's one quick, you know, quick way for us to evaluate things is, do we think you're solving a pain point? Do you understand the pain point you're solving as an entrepreneur? You know, in general, at the stage that we play at, one of the most important things is the team itself. How good are those entrepreneurs? How good are they at being coachable? You know, a lot of the value in our program is bringing in mentors, and as I mentioned, in coaching these entrepreneurs and giving them advice. Oftentimes, the advice is bad, unfortunately. But you know, you'll go into one meeting and you'll get one piece of advice. You go into the next meeting, you'll get the exact opposite piece of advice, and so your head starts spinning. But you still have to be willing to listen. It doesn't mean you have to act on every piece of advice, but you have to be willing to listen. And so, you know, a big part of our process in selecting companies is, how good is this team? Do we think that they're agile? Can they move quickly? Can they go to market? And even if they are not solving the pain point, can they figure that out quick? Even if, you know, I might not know when we select a company if how acute that pain is or how big of a problem it really is, but if this company can go in, iterate really quickly, you know, understand if it's a pain or not, and if it's not, pivot a little bit and try again, how fast can they move? And a lot of that comes down to team. So, you know, I like to say I'm looking at five things when we're evaluating a startup. The first three are team. than product and market when I'm going through these companies. And I do have these, these in my head, some areas that I am specifically interested in and looking for companies solving pain points myself. And but sometimes we'll have a company come out of nowhere and say, hey, here's what we're working on. And I'll just, my eyes will light up and, man, that is really cool. And was not thinking about that at all. So, you know, it runs the gamut of how we find and select the companies.
Interesting. Yeah, it's picking those, as Dharmesh Shah would say, it's learning how to pick athletes, right? Train athletes, multidimensional athletes, people that are quite good at things and can figure it out, because you're, where you end up is never where you set the plans for. And Lauren, let me ask you this, because you often pick the companies up after they come through these accelerators or incubator programs, often as Brett was saying, funded, and you're now dealing with them. I'm trying to bring to market sometimes, or to be nimble or iterative. So how do you deal with that? And where have you seen this evolve in the last couple of years with the interest?
Yeah, so we've worked with a lot of companies and entrepreneurs, as you said, post accelerator programs, to help them continue to network and meet others that can inform the development of their food business in very different ways. Brett, I'm kind of curious, based on the companies that you're looking at, you know, what sort of level of expertise these businesses have when it comes to not just the tech, not just, you know, the design, not sort of those aspects of it, but familiarity and understanding of this food system. And I think, you know, to answer your question, Aaron, that's where Branch Food really plays. We work to and hope to connect our entrepreneurs and startups with this greater community of corporate companies, of universities, of different, public sector, private sector, other collaborators, to really understand, okay, I have this model, we have this team, we have this traction. Now, how do we really take it to the next level and, you know, do these great pilots to get, you know, this feedback, to really figure out where we need to tweak things and how we need to grow, and have limited funds and a limited amount of time and, sort of a limited window to do that and to prove that this is really a viable business. I think some areas that we've seen interesting startup development here through Branch Food, you know, we have some interesting companies in our space. One is Bove Control. They're doing cattle tracking and analytics software. They went through the Mass Challenge program here in Boston, which was a great opportunity for them to expand to the Boston area and help them connect with a number of partners. But for them, they're really interested in connecting with the greater community of technologists and software developers and people that are, you know, kind of up and coming that want to work for startups and get that experience, which I'm sure, you know, Mass Challenge did a good job of connecting them with. But that's an ever-present need, especially for a software company. And so we've helped them in some cases to connect with those other kind of possible interns and employees that can be part of their business. It's just sort of one way that we've worked with that company, but we see needs like that come up that, you know, startups are, you know, strapped for time, strapped for resources, don't always have the opportunity to focus on, you know, that talent recruitment. But I think, like Techstars, we operate as this kind of third party facilitator, and there's a lot of value to that, because I think that for, you know, our businesses, we are in some cases a go-to resource for people that just want to get involved but don't quite know how to just yet. And so, you know, when people are going to the Farm to Fork Accelerator, Brett, you're probably finding opportunities for them to plug in with specific startups or set up mentorship opportunities with. In our case, we do office hours here, where we invite those people in to meet the businesses that we know and help our startups in different ways. And so, you know, this sort of resource aggregation is all the more important, I think, for industry-focused communities, whether they be accelerators or co-working spaces, because we sort of function as a third party, a connector to these great entrepreneurs, these great ideas, and can help facilitate the, you know, this greater community that wants to get involved but may not know how to.
Brett, you had mentioned that sometimes you get just awestruck by certain ideas that you would have never thought of or never expected or didn't have maybe the domain expertise to know that this really solves a problem. I think, you know, some of these things we've seen come more mainstream in the last few years, like food waste. Food waste was a discussion 2 years ago that only a rare few were having. And now we're realizing, wow, we can really solve some of these problems. And we're seeing all these creative initiatives coming up across the country and finding ways of actually influencing and inspiring people to partake in this and even finding reasons and rationale why big companies want to partake. So it doesn't have to be food waste, but could you share with us some really interesting concepts, companies that you've seen that, you know, obviously tangible examples or anecdotal examples help give people an idea of what's going on. So maybe you could share with us a couple or one or two examples of some of these companies.
Yeah, happy to do it. I mean, one trend we're seeing a lot is, and this is an example of technology that's been out there that is being applied to the food world. A lot of companies, a lot of startups working with spectral imaging in different ways to apply that from food, there's food safety applications, there's soil health applications, there are, you know, a variety of applications for it. We've seen people using it to understand the health of plants that are, and combine that with machine learning, computer vision, to try and replace agronomists in certain verticals. And I find that incredibly interesting. We've seen it in, actually in dairy, to detect, early signs of mastitis in cows. We've seen it in which is really interesting as well. We've seen it in a really interesting company actually that is Israel that is doing that is using some technology to identify the gender of eggs before they hatch, which is something that I never would have thought of. I remember when I came across that company, I was like, why do we even need to do this? And I wasn't aware, I didn't know much about that space. And after talking with them, I know a lot about it now, and is incredibly fascinating. And so that's one real trend that we're seeing. Another trend that I'm personally incredibly interested in is how to help smallholder farms across the globe become more efficient. There's a lot of precision agriculture out there. There's a lot of really good things that is pretty widely adopted in a lot of the major row crops and big farms that are in U.S. and Brazil and a couple other big areas. But a lot of the smallholder farms that make up a huge percentage of farms in the world, whether it's Africa or some other developing countries, they're not very efficient. And the farmers really don't make much money. So is there, we're seeing a lot of marketplace plays to try and help those types of people to bring technology to them or help them, make more money on their yield. That's kind of interesting to me how that'll play out or how that will end up working. It's another trend that we're seeing. Robotics. I'm super interested in robotics also and the continuation. I mean, that's not anything new in the food world, but kind of what is new is the not even that new, but people are specifically applying machine vision, computer vision, and artificial intelligence to these robots. So rather than having a robot go from point A to point B, do something and come back, the robots can get smarter. And if point B isn't where they need to go, they figure out that they need to go to point C, D, and E first to collect whether it's information, to pick a tomato, to do whatever it is they're supposed to do, to, count inventory or, check on temperature, or whatever these robots, automated forklifts in warehouses, right? I mean, there's some really neat stuff going on that's combining several different technologies into robotics. And there's some really interesting companies in Boston actually doing that. Those are three kind of off the cuff that we're seeing that I certainly find interesting.
Very much, yeah. Lauren, I think I stepped on your toes a moment ago. I think you had a question you wanted to ask Brett, and I think I jumped in. Sorry about that.
No, not at all. I'm kind of curious, Brett, from your perspective and from Techstars' perspective, I think that we're seeing even more corporate companies getting involved in the Techstars program and just interested in innovation and startups and that sort of activity that is really difficult to do internally for a lot of these big companies. I'm kind of curious the work that Cargill is interested to see come through the program, the same thing with Ecolab, and how those sort of relationships are helping the startups that are coming through the program grow and become successful.
Yeah, it's you know, when we launch one of our vertical focus programs that's partnered with any major corporation, and any of our programs that we launch, I think that there really are four stakeholders in each one of these programs. It's Techstars, it's our corporate partners, it's the community that we're in, and it's the entrepreneurs. And when you do them right, when these programs run well, it's everybody wins, which is one of the really cool things about it. And, you know, what we promise to entrepreneurs in our corporate programs is that they will have access to these organizations. And Lawrence Wong was on our panel when we were in Boston, and we have his counterpart at Ecolab, somebody doing a similar role, and their role really at Cargill and at Ecolab are to help our companies connect into their organizations to find mentors that might have some expertise to help them succeed. So, if we were working with a company that was doing fintech and commodity trading, Cargill certainly has expertise there. And to your question a little bit earlier, Lauren, when you were talking, which is how much industry knowledge do these entrepreneurs have when they come into our program? Some of them might not have that much. Some of them might be more technical and just kind of think that they're solving a pain point in food. And so that's one way that our corporate partners can play and are willing to play, is to find people within the organizations that have this expertise that are just willing to help. And so that's really neat. I think that's a real benefit from our corporate partners to the entrepreneurs. We're also pulling in business leaders from both our organizations that we work with. So C-suite to, general managers of business units, and they can help. They really help with just having a broader view of the ecosystem. They also help with Rolodex. They can help make introductions, and they can make decisions on whether or not it's the technology of the companies that we're working with might be solving a problem for Cargill. And if they are, both of our partners have, said openly that they're in this. Part of the reason they want to do this is to find technologies that they can partner with or work with. Whether that's there's a variety of different ways they could do it, whether that's, a contract where they are a purchaser or a customer, whether that's, them making introductions to their customers. But, there is the potential for pilots, for things like that. None of that's guaranteed. The only promise is the mentorship piece. Cargill and Ecolab, they get to look at their industries through the eyes of an entrepreneur, which is pretty cool, right? I mean, it's really hard for big corporations to do that. And most big corporations are small companies doing $50 million in revenue, right? I've probably looked at 2,500 different startups in the last 4 months that are super early stage in their spaces. And we share a lot of information. Hey, here's some trends we're seeing. Here's some things that we're looking at. And, they get to see their industries through the eyes of an entrepreneur. With understanding that it might be 7 years before these things are big companies, but it's coming. Some of it's coming, right?
Yeah. Well, and to follow up on that, how are the startups that you're working with or considering for the program, how do they define success? I mean, ultimately, I would imagine that they want to impact our food system in a positive way, but is there a unique sort of perspective that they all have on what success means for them and what impact they're trying to have by attending and growing through the program?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, there's different stages, right? What success of the program is different than what success of the business is, right? It's just like fundraising, right? I think that some entrepreneurs fall into the trap of raising a round of capital is success, and it's not, right? Raising a round of capital is a stepping stone to what should be your ultimate success, which is building a big company or making, creating change in the world or whatever it is that entrepreneur dreams. And so, coming into the program, I think that the entrepreneur's definition of success can be very different from the program itself. Some do want to, are more focused on learning how to become better fundraisers. Some want to learn the industry better. Some want to work on their product. Some might need help on positioning, branding, marketing. And so I think coming into this, someone just might want to be better entrepreneurs. So I think the definition of success for companies that are coming into the program are different. What I think is more uniform is what their definitions of success are 10 years from now. And the types of entrepreneurs that we want to work with are the ones that have that big vision of, we want to change the world with our company, right?
Yeah.
And we want to come in and we want to build a big company that really does have an effect on a lot of people. And in the food world, again, it comes back to what we talked about earlier. The cool thing about that is, a lot of the companies we see, it is in making agriculture and food more sustainable than it currently is today. Even if that's not their core mission, what they're doing affects that, and which is neat too. So, but when you look at holistically at their bigger pictures of where they want to go, to a T, I think most of them will say, we want to build a big company that changes the way the world runs.
Yeah, and I think without a doubt, the innovation economy is real in food and ag, and what you're both doing is wonderful. Brett, with a success rate, or if we're using this as a KPI, of 9 out of 10 active companies that are either funded or have exited, I'm giving you the extra 1%. It's when we play golf, I'll let you kick in the 3-foot putts too. But 90% get that. I think that's a huge differentiator. If you're talking about 2,500 companies and you have your first class coming up here in July with 10 companies coming through Farm to Fork, where can our aspirational listening audience gain more information about what you're up to at Techstars Farm to Fork Accelerator Program? And I think it's going to be too late by the time this airs for them to participate in July, but the next one. So where can they learn more about this?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to the Techstars website, and it's pretty easy to find the Techstars Farm to Fork page where we talk about what we're doing, what we're looking for. We're always happy. I mean, even though our applications are due on April 8th, and so I think you're right, by the time this airs will be over, but we're always happy to talk to entrepreneurs in the space. It's not, we're always looking for cool entrepreneurs working on big problems. So that's something that we're always happy to talk to, or anybody that's interested in the space. In general, always happy to have those conversations and meet with people that are, looking to make change in the food and ag world.
That's great, Brett. Thank you. And Lauren Abner from Branch Food, where can we find more about Branch Food and some of the events and programs that you have coming up in the next few months here in the Boston area?
Always branchfood.com and get on our newsletter, which is at the bottom of every single website page that we have. Sign up form there. And we also have a meetup group, meetup.com/branchfood, which is a great place to hear about most of our free events.
And I do get your newsletter and I read it. It's good stuff. It's very informative. So thank you. So Lauren Abda, thank you so much for being our co-host today on Sourcing Matters. And Brett Brolf, Managing Director of Techstars Farm to Fork Accelerator, thank you for taking the time and educating us about what's happening with the innovation economy in food and ag.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care.
Great.